This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. We are going to discuss the... Well, someone's wondering about the Biden fiasco, if it was a stress test by the communists. We'll talk about that. Talk about living in a deep blue state. What do you do if you can't leave? Communism versus Sharia law. All kinds of heavy stuff this hour, I guess, on the Jesse Kelly Show. I want to kind of put a bow on what we were talking about at the end of last hour about how we want things to be clear cut in life, in history. Those are the good guys. Those are the bad guys. We want that. And during the break, Jewish producer Chris brought up bombing. Strategic bombing during World War II. Now, this is one of those subjects that gets uncomfortable for everybody. But you should know that it was extremely uncomfortable at the time. What do you believe morally about bombing a city full of civilians? If you have mixed emotions about it, you should know that's probably a good thing. Maybe you love it. Maybe you hate it and think it's outright evil. But the people, including generals at the time, many of them were very uncomfortable with it. Many were very comfortable with it. It was hotly debated at the time. It gets less debated now. If you even bring it up now, people think, you know, you're trashing America or something like that. But it was extremely controversial at the time. Now, I'm not saying America, that we were the bad guys or anything like that. Of course, I'm not saying that. Not at all. You know, Japan attacked us, so we went after them. But when we are firebombing, we're essentially dropping napalm on a city full of civilians, and we know it. Don't let anybody lie to you about that. We knew it. We talked about it. We have all the writings. We did the same thing in Germany, Dresden, all these things. Look, we're not bombing a Nazi war camp. We're bombing a city with women and children. Now, that gets a little gray too, doesn't it? Like I said, it's hard to live in a world where things aren't clear-cut, but oftentimes things aren't clear-cut. All right, let's move on. Jesse, in hour two of your show from May 20th, you talked about Democrats being unchained because Biden was unable to keep the party in check. Do you think that all that, along with the Harris appointment to the nomination, was a stress test? It's been said that a ham sandwich can be indicted. Was this when they tried to see if the American people were numbed and dumbed down so they could get a ham sandwich elected? Okay, well, let's recap this. Let's recap what actually happened. Because, no, I don't think it was a stress test. Here's what I believe happened. Donald Trump had 4 years. Obviously, I don't have to tell you how much the left hates him. They wanted him gone at any cost. And this is one of those things, I haven't really seen this before in politics. I obviously, hatred goes back and forth. I know all that. But really, Democrats in this modern era, they decided, we've talked about this a million times on the show, they decided at any cost, we must get rid of Donald Trump. If we have to violate a law, violate a law. If we have to violate a norm, if we have to make this up, whatever we have to do, it doesn't matter. He is such a threat. He is the end of all of humanity. No matter what, throw out the rule book. Nothing else matters. You must get rid of Donald Trump at any cost. And they operated in that way. They remember the impeachments, the lawfare, just the most nakedly evil stuff in the world. And they, to this day, every Democrat defends it. The only ones who don't, they complain because it didn't help them win the election. I have not one time heard a Democrat say, that was kind of evil to send a bunch of district attorneys to arrest the Republican nominee. They don't think it was evil. They're mad it failed. So at any cost, get rid of Donald Trump. Well, they had a primary. Remember, Joe Biden was not in that primary. And their primary was full of a bunch of kooks. Bernie Sanders was winning that primary, and he was winning it convincingly. And Democrats sat down and looked at the national polls, and for them, it was a fairly simple equation. For them, Bernie Sanders can't beat Donald Trump in a head-to-head poll. In 2020, he was not going to beat Donald Trump in a head-to-head poll or a head-to-head matchup. He was not. Bernie Sanders, that crazy commie filth, it's never going to sell in the swing states. He was not going to win. And so it was simply about power for Democrats. They panicked and thought, well, how do we make sure we get someone who can win? Joe Biden had been vice president, so his name ID was 100% already. Joe Biden pretends to be a Pennsylvania guy, critical swing state. You know me, Scranton Joe. Joe Biden was viewed as a fairly moderate Democrat historically, not some crazy like Bernie Sanders. So they went to Joe Biden in retirement. Remember, he was retired. He was done. He was out of politics. And they said, hey, Joe, run for president. And you understand exactly how this works, keep in mind. The promise was, we will put the party apparatus behind you. We will raise you a huge quantity of money. We will build a presidential campaign for you. We need you to run so Bernie Sanders doesn't win the Democrat nomination. That was how it went. They made the promises, and Joe agreed. Now, what they probably didn't fully realize, or maybe they did, was Joe Biden, even back then, was not a fully functional adult. He was already losing his mind, and that happens. I'm really not making fun of him because it's horrible. That Alzheimer's and dementia, that stuff, it's horrible. Everybody has been touched by that in one way or the other, and it's awful. But his mind was already starting to go. So remember the fake campaign they ran? And a fake campaign they were allowed to run because of COVID? They always used COVID as an excuse. They rolled Joe out a couple times, and he always would say something stupid or inappropriate. Remember the time he challenged the guy to a push-up contest? Guy gets up and challenges Joe Biden during the campaign, and Joe, we can do push-ups right now. He's just a jerk, right? And it, being a jerk gets made worse when you have dementia. I don't know if you've ever known someone who struggled with it, or maybe you know somebody right now who struggles with it. People who have that can get really, it's part of what makes it so horrible. They can get really mean and nasty to the people around them, people they love. The people they love. Just yesterday, some daughter was talking about taking care of her mom and what a burden it is because her mom is just lashing out and calling her names and she doesn't mean it, right? Her mind's just going. Well, Joe Biden was a disaster. But because of COVID, they could keep it extremely controlled. And so he would do interviews in these town halls. And remember, they didn't clean him up well. We found out he was using cue cards. They had cue cards up behind him telling him what to say. This is during the first campaign. So he runs, he gets in there. And he's just toast. He's completely cooked. He's fried by the time he walks into the White House. So no, I don't think they used it as a stress test. I think they used it as an opportunity. Remember, always remember how the communist thinks. The communist thinks about conquest and domination at all times. And wherever he finds no resistance, he will push and grab and conquer, wherever he finds it. And the people around Joe Biden, we're knowing these names now. I mean, look, we played the clip the other day of Ed Martin came out and he flat out said, I mean, we know some of these names.
I had a whistleblower in my office 10 days ago, senior Democrat, saying, look, it was these three people that controlled access and they were making money off of it. I don't know if I believe it yet, but the point is, I think we have to get to the bottom of it for the American people and to protect the process.
And you probably won't tell us, but can you characterize who the whistleblower was? It someone who worked in the Biden White House?
Biden campaign, 2020 campaign at the highest levels.
2020. And who are the three people they said were doing this for money?
This is the one who's, let me say it carefully. Yeah. The gatekeepers, different characterization of who was using the access, but the gatekeepers were Klain and Anita Dunn and Bob Bauer. And those three were really.
Anita Dunn, I focused on her the other day, so I'll use it again right now. Anita Dunn has been a hardcore communist activist for a long time. Anita Dunn is a vicious, America-hating savage. That's why Barack Obama loved her so much. And she's very good at what she does. She handles communications and messaging. That's Anita Dunn. Remember, Anita Dunn's the one who spoke so lovingly about Mao. Anita Dunn. Oh, you have it? Go ahead, Chris.
Actually come from two of my favorite political philosophers, Mao Zedong and Mother Teresa. Not often coupled with each other. But the two people that I turn to most, in 1947, when Mao Zedong was being challenged within his own party on his plan to basically take China
yeah,
over.
Yeah, we got it. She loves Mao. Well, Anita Dunn's sitting there in the White House, and Joe Biden's in the corner with the blankie drooling on himself. What Anita Dunn sees is opportunity. She sees an opportunity. Hey, what if I just opened up the border? He can't stop me. I can burn this place down. And that's what happened. It wasn't a test. It was an opportunity. Communists love opportunities. They seize them. They use it very well. In fact, we'll talk about that really briefly in a moment. Before we talk about that, our mind, losing our faculties, our mind getting foggy. This is something that happens to everybody. Dementia, Alzheimer's, no matter what, it happens to everybody. If you would like to try to fight back against that, possibly even reverse that, gentlemen, you need testosterone to do it. You are losing focus because your T levels are dropping. Your mind is foggy because your T levels are dropping. Your energy level is low, not because you're old, because your T levels are dropping. You will have such a radical transformation in your mind when you start a male vitality stack from Chalk. Natural herbal supplements are the way to go. Not more needles in your arm. Natural herbal supplements. Go get a subscription. Try it for 90 days. You're going to be a new person. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him. But he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. Remember, you can still email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, including name, rank, and conflict if you want the name of the fallen read on the show on Monday. Name, rank, and conflict. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We will do our Memorial Day special, like we always do that day. We're doing it a little bit different than we've done it before, but it's going to be very similar. You know what to expect. We're going to talk about battles and wars, and we're going to honor heroes and read some citations and do some great stuff. All right. One more word on this before we get to other things. I said opportunity. With Joe Biden being incapacitated while being president, for communists like Anita Dunn, it created an opportunity. An opportunity she pounced on. Communists are really, really good at this. Very good at this. And look, I don't mean to compliment them too much. They're good at this because they lack any morality or feeling. Here's what I mean. They understand when you are feeling something. They understand when something tugs at your heart. And because it doesn't tug at their heart, they can look at it dispassionately and recognize an opportunity when they see one, an opportunity to move the revolution forward. But honestly, COVID was one of these things. COVID, they understood people were scared. Viruses scare people. Getting sick, dying scares people, understandably. People were scared. Well, if they can create even more panic, then think about all the things we can get done. Think about all the ways we can take people's freedom in ways we always wanted to. School shootings, they love these. They love these. I've explained this before. Remember that Uvalde school shooting? Terrible school shooting in Uvalde? Cops sat outside where the kids were being slaughtered? I tried to explain it to you at the time, and now everyone realizes it. Democrats had an all-hands-on-deck meeting after that, and they weren't crying in the White House. They were probably cheering. They were clapping. I don't care about dead kids. These are communists. Those lives don't mean anything. But a bunch of dead kids you care about, it tugs at your heart. And when your heart feels that tug, the communists seize an opportunity to push the revolution forward. And then you get scumbag losers like John Cornyn and Mitch McConnell who use that opportunity to work with the communists to push gun control through. George Floyd, probably the best example yet. You think they give a crap? Do you think a single Democrat in this country gives a crap about a dead gangbanger in Minneapolis, a drug addict, a career criminal? None of these people care about him at all. None of them. Nobody does, actually. But they knew that video. George is on the ground. He's sweaty. It looks bad. It almost looks like the cop is grinding him into the ground, which he wasn't, but almost looks like the cop's grinding him into the ground. And there's video. And I believe, if I remember right, he's calling for his mom. That always gets to people. Mom, mom, mom. And they knew, wow, we've got an opportunity here. There's a white cop. There's a black guy. The black guy died. He died in custody. And there's video. George Floyd was celebrated and is celebrated by the American left. And I'm not talking about his life. I'm talking about his death. Because they knew this was our moment. They have tried forever to open up the jails, open up the prisons, let every violent scumbag out, while at the same time destroying police departments so police departments won't police the animals. That's what they've wanted. They've pushed for that forever. And all of a sudden, this opportunity drops right in their lap. Wow! We have a bad video of George Floyd. Woo! All hands on deck, boys. Time to get the revolution forward. They jump on these opportunities to fast forward the revolution. And that's why I have screamed over and over and over again about the GOP, and this includes you, and it includes me, about participating when they are pushing a narrative. When they are pushing a narrative, when they have an opportunity and they pounce on it, the right has this instinct to kind of back away from it or almost give them a little something. I remember friends of mine, people I know, people who are hardcore righties who were navel gazing after George Floyd died. I guess we do have a lot of racism in the police departments out here. And I'll tell you, I have a black friend and he was very uncomfortable with the whole thing. So, I mean, we can have, remember, it worked on Trump. Trump had a freaking roundtable. What do we do about cops roundtable in the White House? Senator Tim Scott was pushing federal police reform. We can't stand united against these narratives, and that's why they're successful. When the left joins together and they see an opportunity and seize an opportunity, half the right will back away and join in. Well, I mean, I guess we should actually look at what's going on with federal police. That has killed us. And I don't bring this up to actually crush anybody from the past. I bring this up because they're going to do it again. There will be something. I don't know what it'll be. I have no idea. Virus, death, shootings. There will be something. And the left will see it and they will say, wow, opportunity here. How will we react the next time? That matters. It matters a lot. When they're setting the narrative, that matters a lot. Getting your meat done right matters a lot, too. That may be even more important, especially when it's a big, expensive cut of meat. What if you get a whole chicken? What if you go all in? What if you get yourself a brisket? You look at brisket prices. Last time I got a brisket, it was we were having a little party. It was $100. $100 piece of meat. That's a big deal if you mess that up. That's $100 down the drain. You don't ever have to worry about doing that again. Ruining a piece of meat because of IQ Sense. The wireless cooking thermometer from Chef IQ. You leave it in the meat. Whether you're putting it in the oven, on the grill, on the smoker, whatever it is, on the stove, it doesn't matter. The probe can handle 1,000 degrees, so you don't have to worry about that. It communicates with your phone. Your phone tells you when the meat's done. You want 15% off? ChefIQ.com, code Jesse. ChefIQ.com, code Jesse. We'll be back.
You're You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. One more, well, a couple more quick words on this opportunity thing, just as an example, because we just went back and dug up a couple old clips for you. After the Uvalde school shooting, of course, the communists don't care about dead kids, but they saw an opportunity to grab guns. Now, that wouldn't have been the end of the world, except portions of the right caved and joined in. Hey, Joe Biden, who joined in?
I also want to thank the bipartisan group of senators who worked so hard to get this done, especially Senators Murphy, Sinema, Cornyn, and Tillis. I hope I don't get you in trouble mentioning your name.
John Cornyn of Red, Texas, joined with the communists for gun control. Tom Tillis of Red, fairly red, North Carolina, join with the communists. That's why their revolution gains chunks of ground when it shouldn't, because we join in. Remember, the military base names things. After George Floyd died, I mean, those animals didn't stop at burning down Foot Locker. They were tearing down statues. Let's rename the military bases. And instead of standing shoulder to shoulder and saying, no, your revolution isn't gaining anything, this is the Republican senator from Oklahoma.
And this week we've seen leading voices like General David Petraeus saying it's time to stop having military bases named after Confederate generals like Braxton Bragg. Is it time?
I do, actually. And I think the right way to be able to do this is to be able to have a study, to be able to look at where the name come from, what do we need to have to be able to take a serious look at it, and then to be able to transition. There are lots of great leaders, military leaders that are around the country that are modern leaders that we can continue to be able to honor.
And you see, that sounds extremely reasonable. That sounds like a reasonable take to people who don't understand what's happening, to people who don't fully grasp this is just an opportunity for the communists to push something forward. This is an opportunity for communists to rename things, tear down history. People who don't grasp that, they hear Lankford say something like that, and they think, well, I mean, that is a reasonable take. We do have other people. You don't understand. It's not about who the base is named after. It's not about the Confederacy or slavery or anything else. It's about the communists trying to burn down America's history. Jesse, I'm trapped in a deep blue state that can't be saved. My wife has all her family and grandkids here, so even though she is of equal opinions as you and I, she refuses to move to a safe state. I'm not sure a red area of any blue state is safe, so moving within the state is pointless. We are trapped. We are in our 60s, so that's a factor. What can we do to protect ourselves from the coming purge of like-minded citizens from the street communist mobs? How do we find like-minded people in our area to coordinate for safety? His name is Dave. Well, there are lots of people in this similar situation. When I tell people to move, oftentimes I'll get emails from people saying, Jesse, I'd love to, but I can't. My mom is here. My family's here. And that's very understandable. Your wife has the grandkids there. You're not moving away from your grandkids. I mean, my goodness, grandkids become everything to grandparents. My parents stopped giving a crap about me once we had two kids. They would come down from Montana to visit, and they'd spend a week down here. I wouldn't see them. They'd come pick up the kids and take them home, and then they'll drop them off and go back home. And I'm not even mad. I totally get it, right? So you're not moving. I get that. And people get in situations where they cannot move. I get that. Plus, you said you're in your 60s. First, I guarantee you, in your area, wherever you are, there is a gun club of some kind. I guarantee it, because there's one everywhere. They're in New York. They're in California. They're everywhere. there is a gun club. Maybe it's private, maybe it's public, for something anyone can join. If I was looking to gather a group of like-minded individuals in case things got a little spicy in your communist-run hellhole, I would look at a gun club. And maybe you can say, Jesse, I don't know guns that well. I don't own guns. Maybe you're even in a place where you're not allowed to own guns. You are overthinking this way too much. You are a prime person to join the gun club. Walk right in and tell them that. I don't own a gun. I don't have one. I'd like to learn, but I'd like to be around like-minded people who like to shoot. One, it's a great way to relieve stress. Two, it's a great way to learn how to protect yourself. Get comfortable shooting a gun, and you're not going to find a lot of communists down there. You're going to find a lot of people just like you who are trapped behind enemy lines, and they want to make sure they have the ability to stop the animals when the animals show up. A gun club, a gun club, a gun club. Gun clubs are great for that. Hey, baby fingers. They're not baby fingers. What's the backstory of this stupid name, Mob, you call your wife? I enjoy the show. It's not Mob. It's Aub. Her name is Aubrey. A-U-B as in boy, R-E-Y. And I shorten it to Aub. Does it sound like Mob, Chris? It doesn't. Hey, buddy, turn up your radio. No, that's why I call her Aub. Jesse, which is worse for the USA, communism or Islamic Sharia? Thanks. I don't know that one's worse than the other. You know why I oppose them both? Because I oppose force. I believe in freedom, and I actually know what the word means. I do not like, I mean, a lot of this just comes to my natural rebellious nature, too. I do not like being told what to do. A lot of people do. A lot of people prefer it. I hate it. I don't like, how have I reacted when you tell me what to say or what not to say? How do I react? I've always been like that. I believe in freedom, your freedom and my freedom. You say what you want. You believe what you want. You live where you want. You drive what you want. That's what I believe. What, Chris? Chris said, did that attitude serve you well in the military? I got in some trouble from time to time. There were times. And anyway, Chris, I already told you I wasn't in the military. I was in the Marines. What, Chris? What? Just being on. Anyway, I believe in freedom for people. I do not believe in forcing people into believing or saying or thinking or doing things. I want human beings to be free. Worship as you wish. Work as you wish. That's what I want. I really genuinely believe it. My hatred for communism and Sharia and anything else is equal for all of them because they all involve force. You're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to do that. You will say this. You will do that. And that I despise it, hate it. Dear Marine combat vet, this guy says, have you seen the movie Warfare yet? If so, do you have any thoughts? Says his name is John. I'll be honest with you. I have seen the previews for it. I have heard it's very good. I think it's about some Navy SEALs in Iraq get themselves in, you know, some hot water. Not sure how to put this. I don't like to watch movies about the GWAT, especially Iraq. It probably is too close to home if I'm being honest, Chris. I don't want to make myself sound like a baby, but I can watch World War II movies all day, right? Korea and Vietnam and all that stuff all day long, and I love them. I have never been able to sit down, especially the realistic ones, sit down and watch GWAT, Global War on Terror. Sorry, I keep calling it GWAT. I'm just used to that. Global War on Terror movies. That would be Iraq and Afghanistan. I don't know. I don't want to act like I'm just devastated or turn into the, you know, start blubbering or something like that. It's not that. It's probably too close for me to enjoy. That's what it is. I don't find joy in it at all. So I don't watch it. I know. Does that make me sound terrible? I hope it doesn't make me sound terrible. Either way. All right. Somebody wants to talk about them using our values against us. Someone else has a question about God. That'll be interesting. Ooh, this might get spicy. Next.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so? Yeah.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Let us dig more into the question, shall we? Jesse, I've been a daily listener for 3 years now, and you always explain things in a way I can understand. So I was hoping you could explain God to me. How can Jesus be God and also God's Son, and the Holy Spirit's also God? I'm trying to understand, but there's so many different interpretations. I don't know which is right. I currently am attempting to read the Bible, but I am struggling with the act of prayer. I feel silly, and my mind wanders 2 seconds in. I don't feel anything, and I really want to. I want to be baptized, but in what flavor? I feel I'm being called, but where? I don't know. Everyone wants to bring you to their church, but I never felt like I fit in any church. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Okay, so allow me to give you some advice. First, you are putting all this on you, and that you should not do. You are taking on this burden on yourself. I'm failing. I can't pray. I can't read the Bible. What do I do? I'm screwing all this up. Why don't you let God handle it? And I mean, don't rush him either. If you haven't found a church that feels like home, then keep looking. There are churches everywhere. Go to a non-denominational church. Go to a Catholic church. Go to a Baptist church. Don't go to a Lutheran. But and I'm kidding. But go to wherever you want. And here's what I will tell you. If you're asking, God will answer. You don't have to answer for yourself. You don't have to do that. Oh, your mind wanders 2 minutes into a prayer? Congratulations. You're like everybody else. I don't know how people sit down and actually focus and pray for 10 minutes at a time or something like that. Everybody's mind freaking wanders. When I pray, I make it short. You think God has a list of rules for you? He just wants to your dad, your earthly dad or mom. Do you have to talk to them for 30 minutes at a time in a very specific way? Otherwise, they're angry with you? Or does I talked to my mom yesterday. I was on the phone for a minute. Called her on the way home from work. Told her I loved her, made sure she was doing okay because, you know, my dad had passed, and she practically blew me off. She's like, I'm going to dinner with friends. I don't have time for you right now. She said it in a lighthearted way, but you could tell the joy in her voice because I called. Now, that's an earthly mom who doesn't love you half as much as God does. Talk to him and expect that he will meet you, and he will. I promise you he will. I promise you, and stop taking this burden on yourself. You don't have to be perfect and do it right and pray just right and go to the right just place. God's perfect. You don't have to be. All right? All right. Dr. Jesse, I heard you explain a million times, but could you articulate again specifically how the communists use our values against us? Oh, look at this. Like when they say, is that what Jesus would want? Okay. So I'll touch on this briefly because it is something I've talked about before plenty of times. But remember, I'll put it to you this way. There are things in life that you don't care about one way or the other, correct? It doesn't mean anything to you. Nothing to you at all. In town, in my town, they have this local music group. And the kids try to get involved in the local music group. If you're a kid and you're musically inclined, you want to try out and you want to get involved. It's a choir. You want to get involved. You want to make this choir. You want to get involved in the choir. And the choir, they travel around. They do choir competitions. They do choir. It's a big deal here. I don't give a crap about choir. I don't give a crap about any of this at all. My kids aren't involved. This thing means nothing to me at all. Now, let's say I wanted to destroy this choir. Let's say that was my goal, to destroy the choir. Doesn't mean anything to me. Well, because I'm not passionate about any part of the choir, the music they sing, the kids, the teachers, anything, I can dispassionately analyze and find the best ways to destroy it because it doesn't create emotions in me at all. That's how the communist thinks about all of your values. In fact, we'll make it about humans because that's what really what this comes down to, humanity. That's how the communist looks at human beings. Human beings are not, in the eyes of the communist, they are not sacred, created by God, human souls that matter, souls that will live on in eternity. The communist doesn't think like that at all. Humans are just a cog in the wheel to him, just a tool. I heard this story, amazing story. It was this Vietnam veteran. He was talking to he had been reading a book about a French veteran from Vietnam. You know, Dien Bien Phu, when the French were run out of Vietnam. The French were run out of Vietnam before we got there, in case you don't know. And at the aftermath of this battle, the French lost it. The Vietnamese had won. There was a wounded Vietnamese soldier laying there in pain, still alive, in horrible pain, and wounded in the muck. And the other Vietnamese soldiers were using his body to walk across the muck as cover from the mud. And the French guy goes to the Vietnamese officer. The French guy's a prisoner at this point in time. And he says, "That's your guy. What are you doing? Go help him. Why is nobody helping him? He needs medical attention." And the French officer looked, or the Vietnamese guy looked at the French officer and said, "He's already made his commitment to the party. He's already done his job." That's how communists look at human beings, all of them, their own family. You're just a cog in the wheel. You're just a tool for the revolution. And because they don't share your values, the value of humanity, of human life, of freedom, of things like that, because they don't share your values, they know what your values are, but they don't share them, they can easily use them against you. And they do this with Christians all the time. Christians get eaten alive by communists for this reason. Because Christians are trying to be nice, and I'm trying to love my neighbor, and I'm trying to do what would Jesus say? And the communist sees that, and he licks his chops. Licks his, because he knows he's about to eat that guy alive. Remember I told you that story, how he ate my pastor alive? Ate him alive. He got up and gave a sermon about white privilege. He wasn't a communist. He was a hapless, naive buffoon who wasn't strong enough to stand up against communist aggression. That's what they do. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about Trump and judges and all kinds of things. Before we do that, let me talk to you about those human lives, those human souls. We've killed 65 million babies in the United States of America. 65 million. Every single one was a unique, God-breathed human soul. And we've killed them. And we're still killing them today. The overturning of Roe versus Wade didn't change a thing. They now just send you a pill in the mail and you take it and you kill your baby. How do we fight back against evil that comes in the mail? With preborn, with the truth. That's what preborn really gives. They give ultrasounds for free to these women. But what is an ultrasound? It's the truth. That's not a clump of cells in your belly. That's a baby with a heartbeat and he's growing. And he needs to be born. She needs to be born. Preborn gives these women that ultrasound. And when they hear the heartbeat, they choose life. $28 is what that ultrasound costs. And it's tax deductible. You can give them whatever you want. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast.